Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to DrBoyceTV.com, the home for intelligent Black people. Today's an interesting day. I've had some out of body experiences that I wanted to tell you guys about because it's kind of crazy in terms of what happened to me. You know, I came to Louisville this weekend, and my son is having parents weekend, and I guess that's where they get all the parents there and say thank you for being crazy enough to write us those big old checks. And we do all kinds of activities designed for parents. And so I decided to go to a football game. And we went to watch the Louisville Cardinals play. You know, now I grew up as a big fan of the Louisville Cardinals. And I'll tell you what, you know, it was a big thing in our family. My grandmother actually was buried in a red dress, believe it or not. My late beloved grandmother, Felicia Couch, was buried in a Cardinal red dress because she was such a fan of the Louisville Cardinals, right? So yesterday I decided to go to a Louisville Cardinals football game, and there's the Cardinals football team, and they're usually pretty mediocre. Like when I was a little kid, the Cardinals are so bad that they couldn't actually sell the tickets. They would give them the ticket. They would give the tickets to us for free, just as a like because nobody wanted them. And now things have changed a little bit. They got a little bit better. They got a little bit of swag. And so I was happy to go to a game, but mostly it was because it was parents' weekend, right? So you know, you're just having fun. So I go to the game, right? And I had this problem with this company called SeatGeek. SeatGeek. I hate being just kind of an asshole about this, but SeatGeek is this company that does, they sell these digital tickets, right? So I go to SeatGeek and I order my tickets online, right? Like I'm like, okay, SeatGeek, you know, I don't know you, but you look legit and I need tickets to this game. So I call up SeatGeek or get on their website or their app. And I order four tickets, and I didn't want to be cheap. I wanted to get some good seats. So I got four tickets right at the 50-yard line, right? So the tickets were probably about $190 a piece. I kid you not, right? Or maybe it was $150 or something. I don't know. They weren't cheap. They was more expensive than the cheap tickets. We weren't sitting in the cheap seats. And so SeatGeek, you know, sells me this ticket or these tickets. And I'm thinking we're good, right? So immediately after I order my tickets from SeatGeek, I get this email from SeatGeek, and I'm thinking, oh, this is the email that has my tickets in it. And it wasn't, right? Instead of being the email with my seat with my tickets in it, it's like this email saying, you know, we're going to reach out to the seller and get your tickets, and we'll notify you when your tickets arrive. It was something like your order is pending, right? And I was like, well, does that mean that you taking my money is pending? Like, did you take my money? Because that's a problem if you took my money. Like, here's the email, right? So I've showed you guys this. It really pissed me off. Like, I was really mad about this. So it says the order you placed for Virginia Cavaliers at Louisville Cardinals is football is now pending. Once the ticket seller confirms your order, you'll receive an email with more details, right? So SeatGeek, I'm kind of pissed, right? I'm sitting there thinking, that SeatGeek ripped me off. Actually, there you go. There's the email right there. You can see it right there, right? Your order is pending, right? It's hard to read, but just take my word. That's what it says, right? Basically says, like, you didn't get your shit, right? So I'm kind of like, I'm mad, right? So I'm cussing at, you know, with Alicia. I'm not cussing at her. I love my woman. I don't cuss at my woman. But I was cussing toward her. I was cussing in her general direction about SeatGeek because I'm thinking these sons of bitches don't take my damn money. So I get to the game. And I'm like, well, let's go to the game anyway. Let's try to figure this out. Let's see what's going on. And maybe SeatGeek will miraculously send the tickets right before the game and I'll be good. Because they did. I think they did take the money off my credit card. I got a double check. But that transaction was like confirmed. Right. So I'm like, OK, where's my money? They'll have to show up on your doorstep and whoop somebody's ass. So long story short, I get to the game. And in the Louisville Cardinals Stadium is a big, beautiful stadium, Papa John's Stadium. And it used to be associated with that racist guy. Now it's associated with Shaquille O'Neal. And I get to Papa John's Stadium to watch this Louisville football game. And I'm sitting there hoping and praying the SeatGeek is going to send me my tickets. So I'm checking my phone every couple minutes, looking down, just constantly scrolling. Alicia's like, why are you scrolling? I'm like, because I'm hoping we can get up in this motherfucker, right? So I SeatGeek never comes. They never send me anything. So I'm like, shit. You know, so we had to park way out there. I didn't know at the football games that you can't really get good parking if you're not a member. I kept every parking lot I pulled up to, they kept asking me for a pass. I was like, I don't have a pass. I'm coming. What are you talking about? And you know, but I was driving, and finally I found this lot way out in the boonies that we could go park at. So we finally found a place to park, and once we parked, we had like this really long walk. It was literally like a mile. And this old white man, this old, really old dude with gray hair, drives up in a golf cart and says, y'all need a ride? And I was like, yeah, we need a ride. And he's like, all right, well, hop on in. You can ride with me. So I was like, okay, let's ride. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. You know, Kentucky, you got to like speak the lingo and stuff. So we're in the car. We're in the golf cart. And this guy, I forgot his name, and he's just talking to me, and he's like, yeah, you know, my brother is a Kentucky fan, but all my brothers are Kentucky fans, but I'm a Louisville fan. I don't know why I went left. And I was like, really, why'd you do that? He's like, I don't know, man. And he was the coolest dude ever. We had the greatest conversation. We were riding this golf cart. He drives us up to the stadium, and we start hearing the roar of the crowd. It's like almost like the end of the second, like halfway through the second quarter. So I'm checking SeatGeek to see if my tickets are there. Tickets ain't there. SeatGeek is like, you know, fuck you. We got your money, bitch, whatever. And I'm sitting there hearing the crowd, like, you know, making noise. I'm like, oh, I'm getting excited because, you know, I'm a big football fan, right? So I roll up and I'm like, how are we going to get in the stadium? So I go to the ticket box office and I'm like, well, you know what? I'm going to bite the bullet. Let me just buy a ticket and then I can have American Express call SeatGeek and get my money back because apparently they don't rip me off or something. I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm confused. So I get there to the ticket box office and there's a lady sitting there and she says, I'm sorry, the box office is closed. And I'm like, well, where do I go get my ticket? She's like, I don't know. You got to walk around the building or something. So we ended up walking all the way around the stadium. And if you've ever walked around a football stadium, you know, that's a hell of a hike. Like, you're not talking about like a little, it's not like walking around a building. It's like you're walking literally around the largest thing ever, right? So I'm hearing the crowd making noise. I'm mad because I'm missing the football game. It's hot as hell. Like I'm literally almost sweating by now because I'm stupid enough to wear a long sleeve shirt. It was a Louisville shirt, but it was long sleeve. I thought it was going to be cold, but I get the weather wrong. So I'm walking and finally we find this. And so I'm like, well, maybe, I don't know, where can we get a ticket? Because we can't get in this game. And then I see a brother. There's a brother who walks by and he says, y'all need tickets? And I was like, yeah. And then I'm thinking, man, is this another person's going to take my money? Because I'm traumatized because SeatGeek already ripped me off. And I'm like, is this dude going to rip me off? Now, you know you love black people. You don't support. I don't mind. I like supporting black-owned businesses. Even if your business is not, you know, even if it's not necessarily the kind of thing you would be reporting to the IRS, you know, I'm cool with supporting a black business, but I need to know I'm going to get my product, right? So I'm kind of like, damn, man, SeatGeek already done played me. Is this dude going to play me too? But I said, you know what? Let's take a chance, boys. Come on, let's get these tickets, right? So I talked to the brother and I said, hey, man, these tickets are going to work, right? He said, yeah, they're going to work. I said, okay. So he looked like he had sincerity in his eyes and we were standing right by the ticket gate. So I said, how much are they? He said, $20 each. I didn't negotiate. I didn't try to bargain or nothing like that. Because I'm not going to argue with a black man over $20 versus $15. Like, I feel like that is just unnecessary friction, right? I had the $20. So I reached in my wallet to see if I had any cash. I don't have a lot of cash. I don't carry cash that much, but I happen to have $80. I had like 50 and my wife had the other 30. So we gave the brother $100. He gave us $20 back. I said, thank you, man. All right, well, have a good day. So we gave each other dap. And I was like, good luck with your little business. Not your little business. Because he pulled out a wad of money. He looked like Shorty the Pimp. He had a big old thick wad of money. So there wasn't no little business. He was really making his money from these football tickets. God bless him. So we took the tickets and we go up to the thing. And I'm sitting there praying. I'm like, I pray that somebody is going to scan these tickets and it's going to be okay. And there's not some, you know, you're sitting there thinking, man, is there going to be some red alert going off? Like, rear, rear, rear. And then the police officers like swarm on you and tackle you and beat your ass in front of your woman. Cause I don't know. I don't buy football tickets that often. And I don't buy like scalp tickets that often. So I took the tickets. I gave them to the lady. I'm holding my breath, worried like, oh shit, how's this going to go? Scan the tickets. Everything was cool. And I was like, oh, wow, this worked. We got in. This is great. I wonder where they get the tickets from. How do they buy them? I need to learn more about this industry. I'm not going to sell the tickets, but I just think it's maybe that's a good way to get tickets. I don't know. So I walk in, right? So check this out. So there's this lady. There's all these white people at the gate. And I'm wondering if I can get my bag in, because in football stadiums, you can't bring you can't bring in big bags. And so I walked in, and there was this lady, a black lady, and she had a black mask over her face, like to cover for COVID and all that, right? And she goes, oh no, it's the king. And I was like, what? And she's like, it's Boyce Watkins. What? Oh shit, what? Are you playing? Are you serious? Right? And I'm like, oh. And so I finally figured out. I'm like, oh, okay, she's a fan. That's cool. I appreciate that. I appreciate the love, by the way. There's no such thing as too much love. Believe me, in a world where you get all this hate, the love is always appreciated. I will never OD on love. I'll never be like, stop loving me so much, y'all. Y'all need to quit going crazy when you see. That's flattering. Like, that's a blessing, right? But she's flipping out, right? And all the white people look at this lady like, what is wrong with you? And because I don't know this guy. This guy's not important. He's never made a hit album. He doesn't play in the NFL. He's not a movie star. He's not even 6'5". What are you talking about? So she's like, oh my God, it's the king. Oh my God, it's Boyce. Ah. And I'm like, hey, how you doing? Right, so I give her a hug and I'm like, hey, you know, good to see you. And And she's like, flipping out. She's like, oh, I was watching your video. She goes, Tyrone, she points to the guy next to her. She's like, hey, man, this was the dude that I was telling you about today. And blah, blah, blah. Right. And so I'm like, oh, wow, today. Oh, that's cool. Right. So I'm thinking, okay, this is great. We're going to get it. That means we're going to really get into the game now. Like, we're good. Like, we're in now. Like, when somebody recognizes you, that's the cool thing. Or like if a TSA agent starts going crazy, you know that they're going to put you in the front of the line. That's one of those little cool perks that you get, right? So I'm sitting there like, this is awesome. So I saw the lady and I said, hey, you know what? I said, you seem excited. I said, why don't we take a selfie? We got to take a selfie. This is a big deal. She's like, oh yeah, we got to take a selfie. So we took a selfie, right? And it was funny because so we had a sporting event and she's going crazy and everybody's wondering why. It reminded me of that episode of Coming to America, or that movie. Remember in Coming to America when the Eddie goes in the bathroom and the guy's going crazy and he comes out and he's like bowing, like, oh my God, meeting you was the greatest moment of my life. And he's like, that's a dude I just met in the bathroom, right? So it was kind of like that. It really felt like that, right? Because she had a lot of respect and I was so honored and flattered. And I was like, we got to take a selfie. We took a selfie and then I bounced out, right? So I'm going through the stadium. And when I get out there, I notice in my wallet, the stadium's crowded, full of all these people. It takes forever to get all the way to the third floor because I got those scout tickets. So you ain't going to get no good-ass tickets. At least he didn't offer me like any premium seats. He gave me literally the shittiest seats in the building, but I didn't care as long as I could be in the stadium. So we had to walk up all these steps to get there because we didn't know how to get there with the elevator. I don't know why that was. And so we walk up all these steps. And by the time we get up there, I'm tired. Alicia's tired. You know, my woman's panting. You know, she's exhausted. We're runners, and we were tired as hell. And of course, the kids are complaining and bitching. Mom, it's hot. I'm tired. And we're like, yeah, be quiet. Well, at least you got in the stadium. Shut the fuck up. So anyway, I'm kidding. Just joking. Not cussing on a Sunday. I don't talk to my kids like that. But we do kind of. We do that whole motto. You know, when people say "fuck them kids," like we do kind of. I shouldn't admit publicly, but yeah, that's okay to say that as long as you really don't mean it. Like as long as you're like, that's a joke. But still, sometimes your kids get on your nerves. Like, I don't know if other parents can confirm this for me, but that's what kids do. So we get up to all the way to this third level, and our baby is having like a panic attack because I didn't realize how scared of heights she was. And the other one is just like a, you know, like a 14-year-old. You know, 14-year-olds literally, they say 14-year-olds are literally the most narcissist group of people in America. Like literally 14-year-olds are just complete narcissists. So she's like in her phone talking to her friends, not giving a damn what we're thinking about or what matters to us at all, right? So we get up there and I reach in my pocket to grab some money or something to go to the concession stand, and I notice that one of my wallets is missing. I carry two wallets. One is one holds one cell phone, the other one holds the other. But I don't have the cell phones in them, but they both have stuff in them, credit cards and all that. And one of the wallets was not there. And I was like, crap, you know, like maybe I left it in the car. Like what, you know, cause maybe in a rush, I forgot it and left it in the car. And so I just assumed I left it in the car. So we sat there, we watched this game, and we watched this game for like an hour. And then we moved to a different section. We found out that down on the second level, they weren't checking tickets. So we just decided to like sneak and go downstairs to see if we can get on the second level. So we're watching the game. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, the lady that I told you about, the one who was like flipping out earlier, literally, she walks up to me and she hands me my wallet. She handed me my wallet. And I was like, oh my God, you found you, I did lose my wallet and you found it and you found me. How did you do that? You know, and so she was like, and then at the same time, she's still flipping out. She said, so here's what happened. She said, a beautiful young lady came up to me and said, somebody lost this, somebody dropped this. And she said, and I took it and I was going to put it in the lost and found. And I opened up and said, whose stuff is this? And she said, then I saw your picture. And I said, oh Lord, it's the king. It's the king. This is Boyce Watkins. And she said, so I said, I got to go find him. Now I got to go find him. So this lady, check this out. We're in a stadium with 50,000 people, like 50,000 people, like rows and rows of people everywhere. This lady literally walks through the whole stadium looking for me. She said, I knew it was a needle in the haystack, but I told them I gotta go try to find him. She said, I was looking through the crowd. I was looking for bald head, bald head, bald head, bald head. And she had all this real energy, right? And by the way, she sent me a picture of the selfie that we took together. Here's the selfie. It's kind of she has an interesting look. And it's but yeah, she had the black thing over her face and the sunglasses on. And we took this picture together. This was a picture we took before everything went down. This is when I first met her the first time. And so she texted me that selfie after the fact. So literally, this lady went through the entire football stadium like looking for one person. Who does that? Who goes to a stadium with 50,000 people to find one dude and then succeeds at it? Like, that's some black girl magic for your ass. Like, that's literally like extraordinary. I was like, whoa, are you serious? Like, you really? So it was a miracle to me that one, first of all, I dropped my wallet. So one, it was a miracle. Somebody turned it in and didn't take it. It was also a miracle too, that they handed it to somebody who could identify me. It was also a miracle three, that this person cared enough to go through the entire football stadium and look for me in a crowd of 50,000 people. What the fuck? Excuse my French. I'm sorry, but come on now. It's for real. And then four, it was a miracle that she found me. She found me in a stadium with 50,000 people. It was crazy. And so my whole family, you know, the kids, like, I don't talk to them much about like the stuff that I do here. And some of them know about it. Some of them don't, but they're kind of laughing because they're like, this lady's like really going crazy. Like, she's really excited to see Boyce. Right. And so, and I was like, you know what? I said, sister, I said, oh my God, you saved my life. I was sitting here thinking about how hard it was going to be to replace all my stuff, like my, you know, my IDs and credit cards and everything else. And I'm just sitting there thinking, oh my God. And I said, what can I do for you? I said, is there anything I can do for you? Because what you just did for me was literally a miracle. I cannot believe this. And then honestly, in the back of my head, I was like, I hope I didn't get scammed or something. I hope that she, you know, seriously, I'm not saying she did this at all. She didn't. I didn't see any evidence of that. But I was like, maybe that's a scam. Maybe people will take your wallet and then give it back to you and then make you think that they, you know, that's what white people do. That's what white people like when they do with the jabs and all that. They'll take your health away by feeding you like unhealthy food. And then they'll show up and be like, oh, we have a solution to your health problem that we created, right? So there's that. So that did go through my brain. But I saw no evidence of that whatsoever at all. And this sister was genuine and awesome and amazing. She told me that she was a follower of Louis Farrakhan. Actually, in fact, I'm going to show you all and I'm telling you, the NOI, y'all looking for some solid ass black people. If you're looking for solid black people in your community, please do not sleep on the NOI. Like, pay attention. Like, don't just observe them and respect them. I need you to truly consciously watch how they operate. Like, there's no black people more determined and more capable and more consistent and more persistent than members of the NOI. You know, sure, they're not perfect. Sure, there might be some things you could point out. I don't know. But man, I when she told me she was really into Farrakhan and NOI and everything, I said, that makes sense now. That makes sense now. Like when I think about my most solid friends, when I think about people like Brother Wesley Muhammad and Nuri Muhammad and Ben X and Akila Nihonda and others, like and even Vicky Diller. She's not in the NOI anymore, but Vicky is deep NOI. You know, I see people that are great people to build with because they are solid. You know, they're not these flimsy Negroes. You know, hey, I'll see you on Tuesday at 9 o'clock. And then they don't show up. You know, like, yeah, we're going to do this. And then they don't do nothing. Like you don't get that usually from people from the NOI. That's why I love to rock with them. That's why I'll defend them to the death, period. I don't care. You point out anything you want. I'm not going to hear you. I'm just not. Because there's too, you know, it is great to find solid people in a world of flimsy Negroes. Like, there's too many flimsy people out here. Men that make babies don't want to take care of them. You know, they're making excuses, you know. It's like, come on, man. Like, seriously? The flimsy women, y'all know what I'm talking about. So, anyway, with that said, though, so this sister, like, she sent me a list. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. Hold on, do me a favor. Hit the thumbs up button while I grab this. She actually texted me. Because here's what I did. I said, I'm going to give you my number. I need you to text me your information because I'm really thinking, because here's what I said. I asked her, I said, so tell me your story. And she did mention that she was going through a struggle. You know, she doesn't have a home right now. And she said she came all the way from Atlanta. I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this. But she came all the way from Atlanta to work this football game. And she said, yeah, and they only gave me $100, but it was okay because I was glad to just come up here and do this. And her attitude was super positive. And I said, okay, so maybe I can help with some money, right? So I texted her and I said, I said, what is your Cash App? I'd like to send you something just as a thank you because you saved me so much time and effort for, you know, by helping me, you know, find my wallet and all that. And do you know what she said? I kid you not. Check out what she said. She literally texted me back and she said, to be honest with you, I'd rather have educational materials. I kid you not. She literally said, instead of money, can you give me some educational materials? I mean, how impressive is that? How inspirational is that? You're literally talking to a dude, you know, my net worth is out there. They, you know, all the people on the internet were gossiping about how much my net worth is. Well, just so you know, just for the gossipers, just know that was actually a low estimate that you saw online, but I'm not going to tell you my business, but it was a low estimate. So you're talking to a guy, you know, a wealthy guy who literally just said, what can I do for you? A lot of people would have been, you know, trying to go as deep into my pocket as they absolutely could. And this sister literally said, I'd rather have the education. Come on now. Come on now. Tell me you cannot understand why I felt the need to dedicate this whole Sunday sermon. I guess it's because it's Sunday and I'm preaching right now. You can understand why I dedicate this whole conversation to this sister. Her name was Janae. I think it was J-A. I think J-A-N-N-A. Tell me. I mean, you know, and so... So anyway, actually, do me a favor. Hit the thumbs up button. Hit the thumbs up, share, subscribe button. I'm going to go walk over here for a minute and grab another text she sent me. I'm going to see if I can show it or tell you about it. Yeah, okay. So here is another text that she has sent me. And I'm going to share this with you all. Let me see. I don't. It's hard for me to figure out how to get stuff on this screen from my phone. So what I'm going to do is actually I'm going to text it to my wife and she's going to wonder, like, why did you text this to me? But I do this because then I can download it on my computer and then pull it back up. So give me 1 second. Hit the thumbs up button. And by the way, I hope you all are coming to the All Black National Convention. The URL is allblacknationalconvention.com. I'm going to put it on the screen. It's in Orlando at the end of this month. We have over 40 experts from the Black community in a multitude of areas, from politics to crypto to relationships to everything in between. We're going to have the B1 Ball and Awards ceremony. We're going to have the backyard barbecue, but we're also going to have lots of intense training sessions and all kinds of things that will help you grow and help you learn and all that good stuff. So if you'd like to learn and come on out with us, it's in Orlando. Go to allblacknationalconvention.com. So here is... So let me show you. She sent me this text also, right, where she basically was showing me who her top five influences are. And she put Farrakhan and Elijah Muhammad, Brother Ben X, Brother RZA Islam. RZA is going to be at the All Black National Convention. I can't wait to see him. Michael Jackson. And she put Boyce Watkins. I am glad I am able to give you your due flowers now. I will keep in touch. Thank you. One again. And she has a picture of Elijah Muhammad and Louis Farrakhan at the bottom. That's what she texted me. That's what she was texting me, right? Literally in the middle of me saying, hey, what can I do for you? Like, hey, can I send you some money? Like, you know, what's your Cash App? She literally is texting me, you know, her values and her beliefs. You know, like I really thought that was really inspirational, you know, inspirational. And so this sister, I literally was sitting there kind of stunned by what just happened. And my wife and I couldn't believe it. And we had a lot, you know, to talk about later on in terms of, you know, just kind of what that, you know, what that day meant and all this other stuff. And it just really, to me, just spoke to the fact that, number one, there are so many good people in the world. And it reminds me not to always be so cynical, you know, when things piss you off or when bad people do bad things. There are a lot of good people who do good things. And this woman did a wonderful thing. Two, in case you're wondering, I am going to be following up with this sister. Like I said, I'm your friend now. I am in your phone. You can text me, hit me up. You know, don't call me so much because I don't talk on the phone. I'm not a phone talker. It's hard to do, but text me. And if there's something I can do to help you, like, let me know. I'm actually just bought some property in Atlanta in the Black Business School. We just got an office in the Black House. So we decided to put some space or get some space from Jay Morrison, the Tulsa Fund, in the Black House. So we're going to have events in the Black House in Atlanta in the very near future. And they'll be closing some property there. So Atlanta's going to be kind of one of the hubs in terms of things that we're going to do. And also L.A. Well, we were going to use L.A. as more of a hub, but L.A. is kind of crazy with the pandemic restrictions. I feel like they're a little bit overbearing in the policing. But for the most part, that those are some of the plans. So we're getting it done. And I want to say thank you, Sheila Mills, for the donation. I appreciate it very much. And so that's my story, right? That's that's what happened. Let's see. Somebody says, RB, thank you for your donation. Dr. B, you pour so much into the community in immeasurable ways. This was karma. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you saying that. Thank you so much. Let me see here. Did you get your money back from those people that took your money? You know what, Della? I still haven't heard from SeatGeek. And I'm not out here trying to bash nobody. Maybe I missed something. Maybe I made a mistake somewhere. But they need to do something about that. I mean, I bought those tickets under the assumption that I would own the tickets after I gave you my money. So I'm going to go check my credit card statement to see if there was like a refund or something. But literally, I still never got those tickets. So I'm not telling you not to use SeatGeek, but I am telling you my honest, genuine experience that I had with SeatGeek. And it kind of upset me a little bit. I'm still a little mad about it. But either way, though, that's what it is. And so don't forget, everybody, the All Black National Convention is going to happen this month. It's going to happen in Orlando. You can go to allblacknationalconvention.com to see all the people that are coming. Dr. Wesley Muhammad, actually, this flyer still has him on it. He shouldn't be there because he's not coming. But Dr. Wesley Muhammad is family. And I'll bring him on the platform at some point soon. Dr. Claude Anderson, of course, RZA Islam, a lot of other great people, their brother King Randall, who bought all that land down in Georgia, who opened a school with literally pennies on the dollar. My wife, Dr. Alicia, Dr. Adrian Carter, attorney Nicole Compton, who's one of the leading business startup specialists in the country. So we're going to cover everything from health to wealth, to relationships, to politics, to cryptocurrency. We got crypto experts like Carla Ballard coming by. We're gonna have panels on the Black male athlete, the brother that was just in the Olympics, who got fifth. Ronnie Baker is coming by. He was you know, fifth place in the Olympics, but I think Ronnie is one of the top three fastest men on the planet. He's actually beaten the fastest man on earth, you know, and when he was running fast, it wasn't a bad day for him or anything. So long story short, the convention is going to be awesome. So I hope you'll join us. You can actually go to allblacknationalconvention.com. And if you want to catch the audio version of this podcast, you can go to the drboycebreakdown.com. So feel free to go there as well. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Have a good day. Thank you for listening. This was such a fun story to tell because I was really inspired by what I saw from the sister. And I encourage you to use that inspiration as you go through your own life and your own troubles and stuff like that. I saw a sister who literally told me she was homeless. And she had the energy and the happiness and the spirit of a person who was a multimillionaire, you know. So I don't care how much money she had in her pocket. She had $1 billion in her spirit, you know, her spirit, you know, that energy was made her a billionaire in my view. And if I can help her, you know, help her succeed in any way, I'm going to tell her that, like, what can I do to help you? And I tell you, if you bless the world will bless you back. So keep blessing other people. Keep being a good person. Keep making the world better for other people. And I promise you that does come back to you. All right. So I'm out of here, guys. Please hit the thumbs up, share, subscribe button. And those are the B1 t-shirts that we put together. You can buy them at the convention if you want. Or if you want to get one now, you can actually go to wokeblacktees.com. W-O-K-E, wokeblacktees.com. So feel free to go to wokeblacktees.com and take a look. And you can get a B1 t-shirt. There's a URL on the screen. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Please have a great day. God bless you. Love you. I'll see you soon. Peace.